welcome. Tonight's program is designed to create a genuine dialogue between our elders and youth to experience each other's stories of how it is and was to be the same age.
Well, my name is Robert Goodwin, and I was born in White Earth and lived in Nadewash pretty much my whole life.
My name's Corrine Roy. I was born in Bemidji, and I live in Callaway right now, but I grew up between Nadewash and Bemidji and Cass Lake and DL for a little while. All over, for the most part. Robert, when you were my age, who were the most important people in your life, and can you tell me why?
That's a tough one. I never thought about that one. Probably my parents. My brothers, my sister, my grandma and my grandpa. I think my grandpa. I remember when he passed away, probably when I was about 8, 9 years old. But I just remember having my grandparents there to go visit once in a while. And then my brothers and sisters, being the youngest one of 8, they pretty much kept me in line. So I guess they were important as far as, you know, my upbringing. There was always one of them there to catch me or tell me to do something. So.
Alright, should I just keep going down? You can ask her some of the same questions too.
Oh, okay. So who is the most important people in your life, and can you tell me why?
My family. Mostly because they're always there. They're always there for me. Like, even when I was living in Bemidji for college, like, I was constantly texting my sister Ronnie, and the people I'd miss the most were like my youngest sister Chewy. And then I don't know, they've always my family's my support, so I think that's why they're the most important people in my life. Like, I have my friends and everything, but I couldn't imagine my life without my family. All right, what was your high school like?
I went to Manoman, and it was, I don't know, just school, I guess. There's nothing.
Did you graduate in a big class?
I didn't graduate with the class I was supposed to graduate out of, where there was 103 of us.
That's about like half the size of what I graduated with.
Went from Manoman, that was one of their biggest, I think, maybe the biggest class I ever had.
I think I graduated with about a little over 200. I guess I think they said we were one of the smaller classes. I don't believe that, though. That's too many kids. I didn't even know all of them. I didn't even know everyone in my class. 100 seems to be about a good number, though. Most of the people.
103, I didn't know. Well, they didn't care to know some of them.
So, you didn't finish high school?
No, I kind of got frustrated with it and dropped out. Probably I could have made it through, but I just didn't. I signed up for Rural Minnesota SEP, and then to try to get some work or something. And the first thing they did was assess me and sent me downstairs to go to GED, take GED classes. And I was in there for 2 days, and the instructor sent me a Manoman for my take my test, since I only took my test in 1 day and had it. So it was
nice. Sounds nice. Easy. Well, if you lived here in Nadewash, how did you get to school? Did you take the bus, or...?
Yeah, we had bus. In fact, back then there was 2 buses that ran from Nadewash to get us to school. They had two different routes. But some of them kind of crossed, one that come from Planers up, and then through the projects and down by the clinic that way and around the block and then out. And then there was another one that went from, I think they started at the school and then went up north, and they went up to Roy Lake and then picked up kids along that route and then into Manoman.
Yeah, we only had the one bus, and I swear, like, the bus drivers were, like, crazy. Like, when we lived in DL, I'm pretty sure bus driver was drinking or something, because he had hit every curb and every corner we took. I don't know how he did it, but he hit everyone. It was very uncomfortable. But the bus ride from Detroit Lakes, where I went to high school, to Callaway, where I lived, it's like a 45-minute bus ride. Did you have a long bus ride, too?
Yeah, because we had so many stops. It seemed like they picked us up like 7:10. And I don't think school started till after 8. But, I mean, we just had time to get there and go to our lockers, and then school started. But, yeah, that was the thing of it is with the rural buses like that, like in the wintertime when there was snowstorms. Kids in town got to go home, and we had to sit there and wait because the bus drivers would have to come back to
come get you and then bring you back.
Mm-hmm. I think they kind of used that to try to keep for their numbers. The rural kids stayed, and the kids in town got to go home. We had to stay there. Most of the time was till. Seems strange, like the bus drivers didn't show up until like about 11 o'clock. That must have been the time they got credit for is for all day or something.
When the roads would get really bad, like, because instead of just, because we'd be on 59 for most of the ride from Callaway to DL, but, like, we'd have to get off and go down dirt roads and stuff to pick up kids. Like, there would be mornings where we just, like, kept going straight in the winter. Like, he wouldn't even try to go down the roads at all. I'm like, I wonder if they ever, like, called the kids and told them, like, the bus isn't going to come get you. Hope you can bring your kid to school.
Yeah, and then what was strange back then, too, is, like, kids that lived down this way, probably back then, I think Ballinger is probably like across from where Sonny and Jeannie lived there, across from your grandpa's old place. They were probably the end ones, but they had to walk all the way up to the corner to catch the bus every morning. I don't know why they wouldn't let the bus come down and pick them up. So then we'd have to wait because you could see them coming. Instead of going and getting them, they'd have to come running up to the corner.
To chase the bus. What were your relations like with your teachers when you were in school?
Some of them were got along with a lot of them, but there was probably at least one every year that just I don't know. I think they were really didn't care for Indian kids. They just look for an excuse to get on you. I just I had one I think when I was in the ninth grade I had I think she was social studies I think and because of my glasses I used to have to the eye doctor always said when you're doing a lot of reading then look go at someplace else and change your focus just to, for your eyes to so I'd do that and then that one and then my desk was by the window so I'd look out the window and then that one time I looked out the window and I was going back to read and I looked and he was looking at me got me in for poor study habits for the 9 weeks and then my library privileges and everything. You know, whenever I asked for an explanation, just, you know, never popped up on here and I asked why I got it, and that's what he said. You know, you sit there and look out the window, you don't study. You know, just
you don't study, so we're not going to allow you to go get more books to yeah, do more studying.
You think my grades would have said something. But, you know, I think I was pulling a B in there.
Do you ever get into any trouble in school?
No, it was No, I never did.
Good kid.
I wouldn't know if I could say that, but I just never got caught. I mean, we all raised heck, but I mean, just some caught heck. Some got caught and some didn't. Just, I mean, it was nothing major that we did, just little stuff. Just kids being kids mostly, I guess.
What did you do to have fun?
Holy cow. Back then, we pretty much entertained ourselves. My dad worked for Bureau of Indian Affairs, and he was a forestry aide. So we lived up at the ranger station right next to the school up here. And we lived on top of the hill. And like in wintertime, no, there'd be probably a little later, but right now, with the snow, kids would start sliding. You go down one hill, and then there's an old road, or no, it's kind of an old trail. Then there's another hill, and then you can go out onto the lake. But we used to be able to slide from the top of the hill there and go all the way out onto the lake. And then there was always kids down that they'd keep a place cleared out on a lake for skiing. Some kids skied, some kids had skis they'd skied on, but a lot of them would skate. And then before you go down the second hill, they'd have a fire there. And then down the bottom, there was an old bathhouse. They'd have a fire there for so people could warm up while they're skating and sliding. And that whole hillside from our house down in the wintertime, in the evenings and weekends, was just covered with kids. Then my ma would cook up. She'd bake bread and stuff. We all had, well, with as big a family as we had, we'd come in the front door and grab a biscuit and peanut butter or whatever and then march out the back. So with our friends, we'd clean out a whole bunch of her bread all the time. I think she was used to that. She just baked up batches of bread all the time. But we always found something to keep us busy. Same in the summertime, we played softball. Raised heck with one another, just walked around and talked, caught frogs and cooked them up.
Wait, frog?
Yeah, did you ever have frog legs?
No.
And we probably ate them up, that's why you can't find them. What kind of relationship did you have with your teachers?
Oh, good Lord. try to stay out of the way, mostly, in middle school, but in high school, I'm like, I don't know, I guess I got a bit more brave. There was a lot of teachers that I had really good relationships with, most of my teachers. Like, we could talk to each other and kind of tease each other. And then I'm pretty sure, like, I got through some of those classes and got credits for those classes on charm alone because I wasn't doing too well. Like, I just wouldn't do work, but I would still get credit for it. There was one time my teacher's like, I'm like, I didn't do this project. He's like, I know you didn't, but if you were to do it, it would have been awesome. So I just give you the credit I thought you would have earned had you done it. He's like, oh, well, he likes me enough where he'll just give me credit for stuff I haven't done. But yeah, I was one to, like, I'd sit in front and argue with some of the teachers if I knew I could get away with it. And needless to say, it angered quite a few of them because I would sit and argue with them the whole class. But a lot of the other teachers really liked that about me, which is really nice knowing that I could, like, sit and argue with someone, but it'd be okay, even though they're supposed to be, like, an authority figure. But my relationships, for the most part, were really good. I learned a lot. I learned how to not be afraid to talk to adults, which is really cool. So before that, I was just like, it's an adult, I can't talk to them. I don't know what to say, I'll sound dumb, but
I want to sound like a dumb kid.
Yeah. After a while, either stop caring or realize I didn't really sound that dumb. So either way, it worked out. When you were my age, what was your family like? How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had three brothers and four sisters.
And then you were the youngest?
Yeah, I was the youngest.
Can't imagine with that many siblings being the youngest.
Sometimes it was good and sometimes it just... Yeah, you got picked on a lot because you were the youngest. Just saying, one of the things though is they kind of knew of how you reacted on certain things, so they knew how, they learned when how to push your buttons, and it just you had seven different people, you know. You'd have somebody that was good to you one day, but there was another one kind of pushing your buttons to get you going, and it just. But it was interesting. I mean, it was a lot of fun growing up with that many, because it was, I mean, like I said, we all had our own friends besides, so we always had it was always like a house full of kids all the time growing up. In the house where we were at, the ranger station, when I was a kid, I thought that place was huge. And then, after my dad retired, well, we moved to Red Lake, and then he retired, and there was one of the rangers that lived there. I knew him, so I went up to visit him one day and let me in, and holy cow, I couldn't believe how small that place was. I mean, we used to have 20 kids in there, no problem, sitting down, watching TV. There was only probably, when I was little, I remember there was probably only like maybe year four TVs in a whole village, so we had to have a whole bunch of people at our house all the time watching TV. Saturday morning cartoons, I'd have a bunch of my friends over. But yeah, my brothers and sisters were, so I think they were always there for you. It was just water. I think it was probably 60. I don't even remember, 63 maybe, when I brought water into the village. When we were up at the ranger station, we had a pump. And it was probably 6-8 families maybe that got water from there. Down at the village store, it was a Sid Lavoy lived there. And he had a flowing well. A lot of people got water there. And then across behind the old projects down, well, right across the street from where the community center is, there is where my grandpa used to live, and he had a flowing well. That was pretty much three places where everybody got water when we were kids.
So you'd have to, like, get buckets and stuff and go get water every day?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, with us, the pump was right outside the door, so we had a couple water pails that get water, but a lot of the people that around they'd come with, they'd have cream cans that they'd come and fill up with water, homemade sleds that they'd put them on, and in the wintertime that they'd pull them back.
You guys didn't have bathrooms?
No, we had outhouses. Yeah, there was, in fact, there wasn't many people that had electricity. I mean, since my dad worked for the Bureau of Indian Affairs, we were very fortunate. We were, like I say, probably one of only three, maybe four houses that had a television, had electricity, had a telephone. It was, I mean, a lot of, it, I remember my uncle lived down a hill from us, and my auntie used to wash clothes, and she had a kerosene-run clothes washer that she had. You could hear that thing crank up when it started, and then they had a hose that ran out the window to get the exhaust out. I don't know how long we went before we got a washer and dryer, but that was early 60s, I think. Yeah, everybody had the same, except we were more fortunate. We had electricity and telephone, which most people didn't have at that time.
I couldn't imagine hauling water every day. Like, some days I'm just, like, too lazy to go upstairs and fill up my water bottle. Like, I couldn't imagine having to go pump water.
I think of it is, too, is wintertime, it got really cold. The pump would freeze up. So we'd always have extra water there, heat it up, and then pour it down inside, and then it would
prime.
It would loosen up so you could bend, so the handle would go again. In some cases, the pump we had didn't need to be primed most of the time, but a lot of people that had, I remember that there was a couple that I know of that had, they were really fancy. They had their pumps right inside their house. They had a sink and a pump right in there. There was a couple like that. But they'd have to pour water inside their pump to pour it in there and keep pumping. And finally they'd prime it and then water would come out.
It's very early sinks.
Mm-hmm. A lot of digging for outhouses. A lot of clotheslines. Everybody had clotheslines. Yeah, that's the only way most people dried their clothes. Big gardens, I remember. People had having vegetable gardens. I remember we had a good-sized vegetable garden. As I could see, where my grandpa lived, I could see across the field. And I could see him when he'd come. And he'd come up in the summertime, and he'd come up, and he had a pocket knife. And then he had a little shaker, salt shaker, with wax paper on it and a rubber band so the salt wouldn't come out. And we'd sit under a tree and he'd peel cucumbers and salt them. We'd sit there and visit and eat cucumbers. I was probably about 5, 6, maybe 7 years old. Then we'd walk down the store, he'd give me a dime. And going on the store. A dime at that time was a lot of money. You could buy 2 candy bars or...
Oh, gosh.
They had two for a penny candy you could buy. I mean, those are nice pieces of candy, too.
Like, you can't even get much with a dollar nowadays. Candy-wise, anyways. When you were my age, what happened when your parents got upset with you? Like, how were you disciplined?
You know, they didn't really... They talked to you and let you know that what you did, you know, okay, you did this, and you just... I mean, the parents usually didn't do anything. That's where the brothers and the sisters came in. I mean, you didn't get a spanking or nothing, but you were given a good talking to you. And they didn't let you forget about it for a few days. It just, they always laid, they were good at laying a guilt trip on you, so. I mean, it was, you know, I had seven of them to do it. You learned right from wrong, and when you were wrong, you knew it. You just kept your mouth shut and put your head down. I think that's why probably most big families were back then. Parents had their stuff to take care of, and the younger ones were pretty much raised by their brothers and sisters. My mother was great. She was, as nice of a lady she is, I could not see her disciplining. Yeah, but I'm sure if she had to, she would have. But, you know, but she never had to, because brothers and especially my big brother, Butch, he was the one that always... Oh, yeah, you didn't want to make him mad. He just always made it sound like he was going to. I mean, he was just a big guy. You know, you shouldn't be doing that, you know. Yeah.
Growing up, I think a few times I've been spanked. Pinching, especially in the back seat of the car, if we were doing something, me and my sister, because me and Ronnie are always arguing and fighting. So we're only like, what, two years apart? She's really annoying and she'd never shut up. So, like, yeah, we'd fight a lot, so we'd get pinched. But for the most part, I got to a point where, like, we just get timeouts and stuff. But for a long time, it was just me and Ronnie, so I didn't get into that much trouble. Just mostly got told to knock it off. That's probably, like, the worst of it. Nowadays, I'm a bit older. You get the talk. Like, you shouldn't be doing that, or what you did was wrong, and then, like, grounded. But since I liked being by myself, like, usually they'd just send me to my room. But then my parents caught on that I don't mind being sent to my room, because I'd just sit in my room and, like, do whatever it is I wanted to do. And it's like, oh, okay, I get time to myself. That's great. So then after a while it became, now you have to spend time with the family and sit in the living room with the rest of us. So I'm just like... That became my punishment when I was in high school. It was like I had to spend time with my family. It's not that I didn't like it. It's just I'm the kind of person that likes my space. And I like to have my own time to myself. And then, yeah. That was pretty much my punishments and disciplines growing up. All right, ask me another question.
Tell me a story of when you get in trouble at home.
I think it wasn't at home. It was at a dance when I was in high school. I just remember, like, I was in so much trouble. I was grounded for, like, 2 months, maybe 3 months. Because I went to a Sadie Hawkins dance with some friends. And she lived right across, across the street from the high school. So I went with her, and then afterwards we could just walk back home. But instead of going home with her, I ended up taking off with some other friends. And we didn't get into any trouble or anything. I was just off with other people. But my friend's mom called my parents to, like, tell them that I didn't come home with my friend Lauren. And so I thought it'd be fine, like, I wouldn't get in trouble. I'm like, oh, she'll be sleeping, like, she won't notice that I'm not there. And then I got dropped off by my other friends, like, really early in the morning. And she was up. My friend's mom was awake. She was like, I called your parents, you should call them. And then, yeah, I was in a lot of trouble. Yeah, I was grounded for, like, 2 or 3 months, because I took off and didn't let anyone know where I was. After that, I stopped doing that, and I was, for the most part, where I was supposed to be, because that was a long couple months. Like, you'd get computer privileges taken away, and not allowed to go do anything after school. But living out in Callaway, it got kind of, it wasn't too bad, because, like, at that point, I didn't have a lot of friends with licenses. So, like, no one could come and get me. And even if they could, they wouldn't want to because Callaway's such a long drive. They wouldn't want to take 10 minutes to come get me. Yeah, so, like, I wasn't too worried about hanging out with friends after school. It did kind of suck because I wanted to be part of the trivia team, though, and I couldn't go to those. But, yeah. Ended up taking off with other friends and didn't tell anyone. I got a lot of trouble for that one. I think that was the most trouble I've been in high school. For the most part, yeah. What were your relations like with your friends, your relationships?
Well, we had a lot. There was a lot of friends up back then. Different groups that hung around together. But most of the time we had fun. A lot of us would go. We'd play ball in the summertime, and we'd go play ball, and we'd go swimming. We'd ride bike down to Pioneers to go swimming, and then come back at home for lunch so we could hurry up and catch the bus to go back down the pipe.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.